delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hello, Ina.
How are you?
I'm very good, and welcome to Soul Brews with Sheba on Coffee and Soul. I'm so delighted you agreed to come on the show with me. Absolutely thrilled to have you here with me, Ina.
Thank you so very much. It's a very cold day today, but the thought of coffee with you warms my heart, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Lovely. Thank you so much, and as am I. And it's finally happening. We've been trying to set this up for a while. I'm so delighted that we've been able to do it before the year ends. So,
yes.
Do you have your cup of coffee with you?
I do indeed.
All right, great. So I will pour myself mine as well. Yes, to life.
To you, Sheba.
And to you, Ina.
Happy New Year round the bend. I hope there is happiness to be had for all of us and a healthy 2021.
And so well-deserved. I hope so too. We'll drink to that.
Yes.
Cheers, Ina. Ina, I'm going to ask you to hold this cup of coffee between your palms.
Yeah,
and
I will.
Just nestle it. And could you just close your eyes and sit back and relax? And whenever you're ready, share with us what comes to your mind.
The smell of coffee takes me back to the first time that I knew what coffee was all about, because in Bengal, I'm a Bengali, we are tea drinkers basically. But my grandfather, Manish Ghatak, who's a very well-known poet and writer, Murshidabad, Bahrampur was my nanke, my grandparents' home. And my grandfather would drink a cup of coffee, black coffee. And that brew, the smell, the aroma has never left me. A sense of comfort is that smell of coffee. When I hold this cup in my hands, I go back to the time that I was a little girl and peeked into his cup and saw this dark black thing. I was wondering, what is it? It doesn't look like our cha, plain coffee and all of that. So briefly, the history of coffee came to me via my grandfather. And it continues to, you know, comfort, and it's nice to smell this cup of coffee and remember.
It's so amazing what how these fragrances can take us back, isn't it, Ina? I mean,
yes.
What a warm and wonderful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
It came back. Surprisingly, I hadn't thought of it, but it suddenly, you know, it just came back. For me, coffee is my dadu.
How beautiful. Coffee is my dadu. How lovely is that? Yeah. Thank you. And on that, we can put it down whenever you want. On that note, would love to hear a little bit about your journey, life, you know, how has it been? Some of the highs, your lows, some of your defining moments. What's the trajectory of your journey? We're very interested to hear about that.
Well, it all began in Calcutta. And before that, my parents were in Bombay, but we moved to Calcutta. And I was very fortunate in having a family of, you know, of people who were all established, who were anti-establishment too, to be honest. My grandfather was a very well-known poet, Manish Ghatak. His brother is Ritik Ghatak, the very well-known filmmaker. My Bari Masi is Mahashweta Devi, the outstanding writer and activist. This is the kind of environment I grew up in.
Sure.
And so you learned when you were very little that life was what you made it out to be, that you had to do it your own way.
Sure.
And there wasn't some sugar daddy who's going to be there and help you along, but you have to do it yourself. I started reading. My grandfather's library was like Aladdin's cave. And precociously, I started reading when I was very little. Mm. And I haven't stopped, as you can see. This,
I see that all
the books are lined with books.
Art and books, right? I see a lot of art also. Yes.
And it has been from day one. And So I started writing. I started publishing from the time I was in class 11, 12, initially for a local newspaper in Calcutta. Mm-hmm. Then Junior Statesman, oh. Amrita Bazar Patrika offered me a column. I went to Bombay. I was studying in Jadavpur University those days. I was doing right. English.
Right.
And had the good fortune of meeting Dom Moraes.
Lovely. Who, okay.
You know, took yeah. me on as the Calcutta correspondent for Sunday Standard magazine, Indian Express. So that was how I started writing. And I have published many books, of course. There is Manjeet Bawa's memoirs. There's Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma's memoirs. There are books on art like Faces of Indian Art, which is a story with Nimai Ghosh. Mm. Just departed, you know, mm. covering studios of artists, mostly art books, but there have been some exceptions. I was commissioned to do a book on Calcutta's Raj Bhavan, which I so enjoyed doing because it meant exploring this grand old building. We always thought it was haunted. You know, we Bengalis are romantic people. We we have a lot of imagination.
So and thank we God look- for that.
So we used to yeah. look through the gates, you know, earlier, and Raj Bhavan was grand. That's where yeah. the Brits ruled from and all of that.
Right.
But here I was now an insider. I was inside the gate.
Amazing.
And I was inside yeah. this fabulous mansion. And yes. Mr. Viren Shah was introducing me to this place, to the library, to this grand ballroom that still had a chandelier. So all of that. And that was an exception. But I've been writing mostly, like I said, on art.
Right.
I made some documentary films. The one on Manjeet Bawa won the national award. So I got the Rajat Kamal for wow. the documentary we made on Manjeet, which was directed by Buddhadev Das Gupta, and I produced it.
Mm.
I've worked on Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma's documentary and several other artists for Doordarshan and for other...
What a journey it must have been. How was it? What was it like to do these documentaries? What did it do for you, Ina?
Well, it was a challenge. It was an adventure. And because it was not like the conventional choice, I'm talking about the 80s, when today it's very easy when you tell people that you're a curator, they understand what you're saying. Mm. But in the 80s, 90s, when you said you're a curator, they really didn't know what to make of it in India.
There were no reference points, I guess.
There were no reference points.
Yes.
But I was very fortunate where Manjeet is concerned, his art, getting to know more about his life, his story, his completely magical journey, the highs and the lows. You know, that was a huge lesson. I mean, that defined the way I looked at art, and I continue to look at art.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if that mentor is still somewhere around saying, "Isko dekh, ye, don't neglect that. Go back, have a look at it again. He's a young person, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You have to look at the young and the experienced with the same eye." So these are lessons of a lifetime. And I was fortunate in having such a wonderful teacher guiding me. But he's been long gone, and my journey continues. I have brought out several other books after he's passed, some on him as well.
Yes.
And
painting behind you is a sketch, right? It's Manjeet Bawa you were telling me about.
Yes.
Can you?
Yes. There are two works behind me.
Yeah.
There are two works. Mm-hmm. One is that of Rabin Mandal. Yeah. And he's again a very important artist from Bengal.
Yeah.
He's used a script. It's a very, very interesting collage of figures, but textured with script. And somehow it's arresting, this image. Yeah. I bought it from his retrospective in Delhi some years ago. He is also passed.
Yeah.
And yes, the other work is that of Manjeet Bawa's. It's a very, very important work dating back to 1984 to the Sikh riots.
Mm.
Manjeet himself was a Sikh, and this was a subject very close to his heart, where he's talking about how a nation is actually, throttling, strangling his own child, and in a sense speaks about the relationship between the nation and the state, which is what happened in Punjab then, the whole conflict between Punjab and our government, the central government. So yes, this dates back from that time. And interestingly, he used his own image and that of his son Ravi. So the older man, the Sardar that you see, you know, actually trying to hurt the boy is Manjeet's own face, and the son is the prone figure lying on, you know, in his arms. So it's a very, very important work from his
Really riveting, very compelling. I mean, you can't look away. It is such a powerful piece of work. So I'm so glad that I'm able to see it as I'm talking to you, and I'm sure the people who will see this will also resonate with what I'm saying. It's very, very compelling. So,
you know, I had an exhibition of Manjeet's, which I think is one of his most important exhibitions, called Mapping the Conscience. And the painting, this is a drawing, and Manjeet was a master draftsman. He was brilliant with, you know, with charcoal and pencils. But the painting that he made from this was part of the of that exhibition, Mapping the Conscience. And several images, it was the only time that Manjeet openly addressed this hurt, this anguish, the feeling that he felt that, you know, Punjab had been violated. So this was an important show also in his career.
Wow, what a journey. I mean, I'm just imagining the forks and the turns and how much it must have enriched your life and who you are.
It has.
So tell me more.
Well, from there, I have been curating across the country, abroad a lot. And what is constantly amazing is the fact that every day, you know, you meet new people. And for me, the greatest joy is talking to young people. As it is, I love chatting with people. I love stories. I love sharing my stories, listening to people. So this life has made it possible for me to connect, to make bridges with people, to listen to people, to tell them a little bit about art. You know, because otherwise what happens sometimes, and I've seen this during Manjeet's exhibitions, that the people who are investing in art are oftentimes, you know, they're looking at it as investors. So there are these people who have made money and they've come and they want to make a quick, you know, let's have this important artist on our walls. And it's a good investment. For me, art is an emotional investment.
Absolutely.
I bought my first piece of art soon after I was married in 1981. And it was a Jamini Rai work. Now, Jamini Rai, I had the good fortune of meeting when I was little. And his family was very well known to me. So I remember with the little whatever money I had, we received as wedding gifts. I told Ravi, I said, you know what? I'm going to go and get a painting that I'd seen in his studio. And Ravi said, yeah, go ahead. He didn't know that he was encouraging the completely wrong person because there would be many more opportunities in life where his wife would come up to him and say, Ravi, this is a wonderful idea. Can I just... But he continues to be supportive.
Oh, that is phenomenal. So,
so that was my first Jamini Rai, and it still hangs at home. I have been buying paintings. Whatever I make from art goes back into art. So I have this stunning collection only because I haven't sold a little stick or a you know, anything. It's all there. The works that I picked up from Shantiniketan, from the Nandan Mela, K.G. Subramanian, Jogen Chaudhary.
Wow.
All of those works.
Look,
I mean,
at that.
It's
and each one means something to you, right?
Correct. Each one comes with a history lesson, yes.
Yeah. And it's a
which
story.
I'm going to share with my granddaughter someday.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that'll be phenomenal. That there is something about it which is timeless, right? And you're transmitting that.
Yes.
Instead of it just being something that is, as you said, as an investment. And I think that transmission is what people need to perhaps feel and realize that it's about that, you know.
The emotional investment, what you invest is, you know, from here, from within.
From your heart, exactly. Yeah. And you went on to this. So in this journey, Ina, what were some of your learnings? Each one of us goes through a phase when there is, or we have some moments in our lives which are defining for us, which kind of take us on to the next level or to the, and sometimes we don't even realize when it happens. But when we look back in hindsight, we realize that, oh my God, this is what, are there any such things that you can share that you kind of?
Well, you know, people only look at the the happy moments and the glamour and the gloss and the glitter and the thing that it's wonderful. You know, they see me at an opening and I have always been a great champion of saris. I only wear handloom saris. Yeah. So there I am in a beautiful sari and you know, I'm with important people surrounded by media and all of that. And that's what the takeaway is. Mm-hmm. But the point is that you have to work towards that. And it's mm-hmm. many, many days and sleepless nights that lead to that moment. Mm-hmm. Because to curate means spending time with the artist, reading up, researching mm-hmm. on him. Even as we speak, you know, there are important shows that are happening that I'm curating for 2021. Mm-hmm. And even today, I have to work equally hard to make sure that the exhibition is at, you know, it's of a certain stature. I cannot be lazy and it cannot be lazy curation just because people know me. It makes my life even more difficult because I have to work extra hard. I've just written on Jogin Chaudhary. He's exhibiting as we speak in a Calcutta gallery. Yeah. And it's his show after some time. And there I was. I mean, I dug out letters that he had written, postcards. The advantage is also that a lot of the artists have been friends. Yes. And I've had a personal equation with them. So with Jogin Chaudhary, I remember the time. I'm talking about early 90s when I went to his artist to the studio in Shantiniketan. Wow. And I, you know, drew from there. So what I'm trying to say is there are many defining moments in one's life. Another one being when Manjeet went into a coma, we were at an exhibition of Chitrabhanu Mazumdar's. Mm. And just a month before that, Manjeet was in London exhibiting his last, for the last time, as it turned out. And, you know, he went into a coma. 1 minute we were at an exhibition, the next moment he was gasping for, so it was very difficult time. 3 years and 17 days he was in a coma. And it was a very difficult time. But when I look back, you know, I learned in the beginning, it was disbelief that one moment he's here and then he's gone, just like that, can't be. But you learn that life throws you these lemons and you have to carry on because you have your life and your energy and you have to carry on. And there are lots of other people who need you. Your family needs you. Other people need you. And so initially it was difficult, but from there, I went on, and seriously, I feel that I've achieved so much more in the last 15 years because I did it on my own this time. I went out there after he had gone, and I felt that I had to also prove it to him. Mm-hmm. Working with new artists, looking at tribal art, looking at, you know, artists in Bhopal, for instance, who had never shown before, going back to Shantiniketan, finding young people like Narayan Chandra Sinha, for instance, with whom I worked and did this fabulous show in Calcutta, setting up a gallery in Calcutta with Harrington Street Arts Center, working with a Kolkata Center for Creativity, for whom I'm still doing interesting things. And another wonderful experience was that I, because our documentary had won the Rajat Kamal, I was asked by the, by people to be part of the jury for the National Film Awards. Amazing. And that was another fascinating experience in my life. Mm. I'm a cinema buff. I love cinema.
Yeah.
But for 3 weeks to be locked up at Siri Fort in one hall after the other, just looking at films from Bhojpuri films to Bengali films to, you know, just name it. I still remember Dombivli Fast was a film that we got to watch from Bombay, Marathi film.
Right.
What films from Assam and from various corners of the country. And another avenue opened up. And I said to myself that, you know, these things one has to, you learn every day. I didn't know that so much was happening, seriously. Mm-hmm. But so then I went on to making, you know, my own documentary films that I did on artists, worked with Jabbar Patel for Shivji's film. So that's how life carries on, that sometimes some moments they make you feel like it's the end. But then there is that sunrise the next morning and you get up full of energy And you say, no, I have to carry on. There's so much to do, you know.
Yeah, and I think that is amazing, Ina. You know, when you say that, it's actually it's like a strong pause, and from that pause emerges the next thing that you have to do. And yeah. But you have to be ready for that, and to be able to be expansive enough to take that step. And I think that's what you demonstrate by what you've done post possibly such a blow to you, but the fact that how you moved on, I think that is amazing, and what an inspiration.
But it's also the bad times that make you feel that you can set an example, you can go ahead. And if you turn away from the negativity around you, the meannesses around you, you know, the main thing is discipline yourself and look inwards. Don't look outwards for comfort, because it doesn't happen, you know. You have to be strong from within. During the pandemic, for instance, there was this horrible, as it is, it was a very difficult time for all of us. Yeah. I was about to open Lalu Prasad Shaw's exhibition at Bikaner House, like a retrospective, everything, floor plan, everything had been set, where we are going to hang, which works, everything. And then the pandemic came and we had to call it off. Now, Laluda is in his middle, in his mid-80s. He's not a young man. And so we were wondering what to do, when to show. No idea what's going to happen. But we planned and we brought, you know, we worked on his catalog. We worked on his, on the show, trying to improve it even further. So that when it happens, and you have to be optimistic, it's bound to happen.
Yes.
You'd be ready for it. And the Amphan, for instance, this horrible cyclone that struck lives and really crippled half of Bengal, Sundarbans. I just felt that, you know, this is a time when we are sitting at home and I'm in Delhi. Why don't I try and do some kind of a fundraiser instead of just feeling bad and making Facebook posts about how sad things are, to try and make the change. So what I did was I reached out to Kolkata Center for Creativity and to Shalini Pasi's foundation, and they came forward immediately. And we were able to raise some, you know, a huge sum of money. And I remember the moment when we donated it to Ramakrishna Mission in Bengal, in Kolkata, telling them that, you know, we would like for you to lead us and tell us, because we don't know where to go. It's a very little amount compared to the damage we see around, but it's a little something. The point is, Sheba, we have to make that change happen. We can't just be sitting there in our armchairs and talking. I mean, all those bakar-bakar moments don't work for me.
Yes, so true. And, you know, it's so easy to try and change the world from sitting at the armchair. You're right. And
in whichever way you can.
Every small little thing. You know, during the pandemic, and as you're talking about this, it comes to my mind, a lot of artists really, really went through a very, very rough time and are still not fully recovered. Is there something that you're also doing for them?
Well, constantly. That's a constant. That's a constant. I have, yes, we have, the fundraiser was with artists. And some people donated works, some senior artists did. For the others, we gave them back the money. What happened from that moment was a lot of the art was being circulated. So now they have people seeking to buy more works.
Lovely.
So that is another avenue that is open, and I'm very happy about that.
Oh, that is delightful.
And a lot of people, you know, the Madhubani artists and so many other people, actually, that's just, you know, one sort of art that worked and had lots of takers. But the Gond artists, for instance, several young artists who were working suddenly found that they had reached, because of our resources, across the world. There were people from Dubai calling up and various other places. And so, you know, it's nice because of course, we were raising funds, but even otherwise, when I work with an artist, I don't take any commission or anything. I work as an independent person. And in fact, Manjeet and I had started Sama. And Sama in the 90s, mid-90s, and even then, I remember we had Ganesh Haloi's major exhibition.
Wow.
And it was about showing the works. It was about exhibiting and not making money for yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that that pays off. You know, you've built up trust in people.
There's a reputation that you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the authenticity shines through. And I think that's
yeah. And I'm continuing to work, continuing to search, look for new people to work with. In Harrington Street Art Center, we had done this wonderful show called Tribes of India from across the country. You know, people who work with various art forms, Dokra, scrolls, Pottachitra, various forms of art, and we had sold out. So those people again feel that they're doing very well because, you know, they reached out to people, and it's not through any agent or via media or someone there who's quietly striking a deal. It was directly from them to the collectors and to the buyers.
That's so wonderful. Was there also an influence of the South in this, in the South of India?
Of course. Most certainly.
Yeah, because I had some people who told me so about the artists in South India, what they were going through, and it was just, you know, the younger ones, all the heritage arts and all, which were just floundering. And
absolutely. And like I always say, Sheba, there's, you know, there are takers for all kinds of art. Okay, some of us know and love the work that Subodh Gupta is doing, or you know, Jitesh Kallat, and museums are collecting them, and you know, important collectors, wonderful. But down the line, there are people who are just starting out, and they have a different taste and also a different budget. Let's be honest about that. And they're buying, they're seeking new kinds of art. And I find that's very important, to encourage people to look at art.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, is there an adage you live by, or, you know, or metaphor for life that you have? Is there, with all your experience, your reading, your working with art, with films, what is it that you have found is a, like a guiding statement of your life? Could be a couple, it's all right, you know.
It's just that I feel that I think that I have an open heart, and I'm always open to experiences. And that is the mantra of my life, that I am, that I have this excitement within me. You know, I'm not jaded about art.
Mm.
Even having, you know, been part of this whole fraternity for over 30 years, art still excites me. Life excites me. Travel excites me. And every time I'm going somewhere, on the one hand, of course, you know, you've been to Mexico, and you've been to places, you know, to the art centers across the world. You've been to the Biennales, Venice Biennale. And so, but also on the other hand, within the country, Kochi Biennale, there's Shantiniketan, and you know, the artists that you see working there. There's so much to see. There's so much to do. I mean, where is the time to be gloomy and sad?
That's so true. Is there anything you feel in your life you could have done differently? I don't mean it in terms of regrets, but, you know, just a reflection.
Oh, you know, initially I felt that maybe it would have helped if I'd theoretically studied art. As a student, I studied English literature. And sometimes, you know, I just felt it would have been wonderful if I had studied art instead. But then I changed my mind, because I think that the way I look at it, this openness, the fact that I can, for me, art is equally, you know, it's cinema, it's literature, It's multidimensional. It's not just this one way of approaching it. So I feel maybe that is an advantage. So really no regrets as such.
Yes, I see.
Really none.
In fact, when you say that, I feel definitely it must have been an advantage, because, I mean, the ability to embrace so much is also because of past experience with literature.
Yes. I was sharing this story with you when there was this case of a priest being brutally burnt in Orissa, right, some years ago. Graham Staines, his name.
Yes, Graham Staines, yes, of course, yes.
And Buddhadev Das Gupta had used this incident in one of his films. Mm. And it was very, very moving. It was very powerful. And that image remained with me. Years later, I showed this in an exhibition, and alongside Buddhadev Das Gupta, we put this on a loop. So it was playing in a loop, and alongside I had Riaz Komu, I had several other contemporary artists. I had Buddhadev Das, I had Manu Parekh, I had Jagannath Panda. And we had this exhibition where of course, we are showing violence, and we are showing what violence is doing to our society in a way that is multi-pronged. Mm. Not in your face, nothing that is, you know, we were not raising jhandas, just talking about what was happening around us, what we were seeing in a way that was meant to reach people. So I just think that the power of art, cinema, literature, It's huge, it's immense. Mm. Picasso, of course, the Guernica painting that he made, which was, and you know, his statement against war, the relevance of it, I mean, there's a constant debate about how much or how little art can do to change society. It is a way of expressing ourselves, and that expression is always very important. Critical expression is very important.
Absolutely. And I think perhaps that is something that courage to do that comes through art. And a number of times, possibly, the courage is lacking in our everyday existences because we don't know how to do that, or even to figure out how to raise our voices and to be able to find compelling mediums that do it and being able to resonate. I think these are huge gifts that art gives us. And,
yes.
And thank you for highlighting that, because it just makes so much sense. You know, each one of us has something unique to offer to humankind. I believe we're all part of a tapestry, and each thread is unique, and each one has a unique gift to give. What do you think your gift is?
I have a wicked sense of humor. I can make people laugh very easily.
That is
and
fabulous.
I find that in the most difficult, you know, suddenly something just is there, and the, you know, it just sparks it off, and you can't help it. You just have that mad moment of laughter.
Yeah.
And you make others laugh with you. Yeah. I think that is a big gift for me. I share that today I share it with my granddaughter. She's very mischievous. They tell me that she's going to be a bit like you. So she's wicked. She's mischievous. She's doing things, and her eyes are very, very expressive. And I find there it is. I mean, I'm already communicating with her that, you know, little girl, we are going to be wicked one day. We'll go travel, we'll see the world, but we'll do it our way.
That is phenomenal. Is there something this amazing little, after all this, what we've spoken about, the beauty of art and everything, bringing this up is so the sense of humor, and that what you talk about, what would you say to people who are either younger artists or struggling or just wanting to get on with life, or a younger Ina? What's the kind of message you would like to give?
To a younger Ina, I would say that I'm impatient. I would tell the younger Ina, don't be impatient, because you have a glorious life ahead of you. It doesn't look glorious now. There are lots of pitfalls. There's going to be a lot of difficulties, but hang in there. Don't lose hope, because alongside things that I've shared with you, there have been very difficult moments in my personal life. My parents separated when I was just 12. My brother and I went through some difficult moments in our childhood. I lost my brother. He decided to take his life. So, yeah, I mean, there have been some incredibly sad times, and those sad times, you know, they don't go away. They remain with you. Yet the ability to laugh and to face each day with positivity.
That is so inspiring, Ina. Not for a minute did I think that there would not have been some, because of what you represent and the depth and the range, it cannot happen unless and until there have been some huge experiences in one's life, and the fact that you say them and share them with us, I am very honored. But also the way that you wear it lightly. And that is amazing.
Yeah, not to make a case of it, but imagine, I mean, in those days, I'm talking about the late 60s, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy when people pointed you out in school and said mean things and all of that. So it wasn't easy. But it's okay. You get the good and the bad in life and no complaints. As long as you contribute to life. I think that's very important. Through the pandemic, I have been working every day, including on a very interesting project, which I'd like to share with you.
Please, yes.
There are some exhibitions that I'm going to be curating next year. So I'm working towards that. Like I said, I did Jogen Chaudhary's catalog recently, Lalu Prasad shows. So alongside that, I just thought that, you know, people are sometimes sitting at home and it's somewhat depressing. So I asked some senior artists to contribute some drawings, outlines of drawings, and I put it together in a book called Magic of Coloring. So this is for the Kolkata Center for Creativity. And the book it's actually very interesting because it encourages the young adult, the adult or the child to fill in the outlines with color. But these are not just casual apples and pears and trees. Actual drawings of senior artists. There's Vaikuntham.
Tell me, how do I get this? I will pick this up. This is so good.
This is the magic of coloring. Because that magic is important. That moment of magic is so important. And I believe the response has been phenomenal. So I feel very pleased about that.
What an idea. What an idea. And then to execute it. Is there anything else you'd like to say? And before that, before I ask the closing question, is there what kind of value do these kind of conversations bring for you, Ina? Does that?
Shiba, I don't have that many conversations. I mean, basically, I've just done a book on Nimai Ghosh and Paresh Maiti called Portrait of an Artist. So I was doing some conversations promoting that book with Jaipur Lit Fest and Kolkata Lit Fest. So that was with some purpose because Nimai Ghosh has passed away and it was almost like he was speaking on his behalf. But this kind of a personal conversation, this is the first time. I don't normally, of course, one is busy. There's just so much happening and really, there are very few people with whom one can have a conversation like this. And it's because of you, and I respect and admire the person you are. And that is why I was very much looking forward to this conversation. I've spoken about things that I would never do in a public space. It was because you drew me out, and I have a lot of respect for you personally.
I am so privileged and so honored. I honestly, that's my goosebump moment. Ina, is there anything else you'd like to say to the people who are listening? Any message? Because you never know who you could impact, Ina, particularly with the kind of things you're talking about.
Just to say that, of course, life is difficult. The pandemic is not going away and we have to really, we have to be patient. We have to think positively. It's very difficult. We are losing friends, relatives. It's a very hard time, especially now, because every day, every moment, we feel that we are getting tested. But just to hang in there and to be kind to animals, to be kind to people who are lesser privileged. If you have an extra blanket at home, it's a very, very cold winter. Go out and give it to someone who needs it more than you. There are wonderful foundations outside our little cozy homes. They are doing wonderful work with lesser privileged people. Don't do it and take a selfie with them. Just go give it and walk away. Just do that. Go and, you know, help people who look after stray animals, animals who've been abandoned. There are so many creatures, you know, out there who really need our kindness, who need our compassion. Go out and do your bit.
Thank you so much, Ina. And on that note, I know you have a lot to do. I know you're very busy. And I really appreciate you having taken the time out to spend this time with me on Over a Soul Brew. I have absolutely thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And thank you so much once again, Ina, for spending this time with me.
Thank you, Shiba. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's been a joy. Thank you for your time and attention. and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.